Sports Radio 610 presents In the Loop with John Lopez and Reggie Atitula.
You're in the Loop, Sports Radio 610. John Lopez, Figgy Fig, and myself, Reginald Atitula, hanging out with you on a Tuesday. Hope you are having a lovely, lovely day. It's a good time. Texans 4-1. Rockets getting going. Preseason basketball. I mean, one more. I mean, I was about to say, what more can you want?
And postseason baseball.
Yeah, I was like, I know the other thing that I want. Yeah, I know, yeah. I'm setting myself up for the okie doke. I get it. All right, I understand. I don't know why I got aggressive there.
You still like postseason baseball? It's just a little different.
Yeah, it's just now.
It's very different.
It's a lot different.
It's very different.
How are you holding up, Fig? Because I feel like you specifically have gotten very used to that feel. And now it's
It's super different, man. Like, I was watching the Guardians game, and they kept bringing up the Astros. Yeah. And they even brought up, like, yeah, this is the first time in a long time they ain't been here.
You know, like, it's different. Damn. You know how it's different for me is, like, this is how badass the Astros run was. Like, in my mind, I'm conditioned to, like, okay, when do the Astros play? You know? I'm like,
when building out your schedule?
I got this today. When did, oh, wait, you know, I'm like, yeah. It's wild.
I was at Academy the other day, mm-hmm. and I seen they had some starter jackets, some Astros starter jackets.
That sounds hard. Let me, hold on. Which one?
Which one was it?
We'll talk off air.
Yeah. But I was looking at, hey, I should get one. I'm like, nah, wait, it'd be kind of, because I was thinking like, man, it's October.
Bro.
They're going to be playing probably mm-hmm. in November. I can rock it in November. I'm like, man, like, I want to wear this now and they ain't even playing.
Did I tell you about how I felt? Was that last Monday? Mm-hmm. Has it already been a week? I think that was it. Or no, it wasn't. The day after, it was Wednesday.
Yeah.
I think. No.
After they got eliminated.
So it was Thursday, right?
Yeah.
That Thursday, I had fully planned to come in with the cap, with the Astros cap.
Oh, yeah.
Like, really lean into it. And I was like, oh. Okay. Well, it's weird to wear the cap on the day after they
But
lose,
I'm conditioned. Like, you know? Like more than once, I've been like, all right, oh, wait, I forgot. I mean, it's weird.
I think we all got conditioned to that, man. Weird. I think we kind of got spoiled a little bit.
Yeah, I hit up a homie, and I was like, well, I guess I got time. What you doing? Let's do something. All right. Couple of notes when it comes to your Texans. They've added a couple of players from other practice squads. Now, they've been here before, mm-hmm. but cornerback Kadar Holman, from the Ravens practice squad, gets added to the 53-man roster of your Texans. And tight end Tegan Quatoriano, I believe, was on the Bears practice squad, gets added to the 53-man roster for your Texans. Both of them jumping a couple of players on the practice squad here that you would have imagined maybe get a shot. Maybe a little bit lesser to the degree, Irv Smith, tight end that was signed mm-hmm. To the practice squad maybe a couple weeks ago. I don't know exactly. Time is all running together. But Desmond King is the one that's notable. He was brought back to this practice squad with a little bit of a fireworks, I guess, for lack of a term, with social media. But I was kind of surprised that those guys don't end up on the 53-man roster and give them an opportunity there. But, there's some moves there when it comes to cornerback and tight end depth.
Yeah, I think Quatoriano is about as interesting as any of them, too. The guy was here, showed potential, a little bit of a surprise that he didn't make the squad initially. And then now, back, you know, they had those big issues blocking. You know, he's a big dude.
Yeah.
With the tight ends, and he's on the 53. So is he going to be active? I mean, you know, it's interesting.
Yeah, I think that he might. I mean, because British Brooks goes on the IR.
I
think he is a specific reaction to that. Like, now you only have two tight ends in Schultz and Stover, mm-hmm. and you need them to also basically take full hold of the fullback type activities when you get that in there.
Yeah.
And so I think Quatoriano becomes help in that regard. The interesting one for me was Holman. Like, hey, what is the thought there? What mm-hmm. can we possibly
he's
be
hopping
hearing?
Dudes. He's skipping over
he
some
is.
Guys.
He yeah. is. And, you know, what possibly could that mean? Is that a depth look because Okuda is not necessarily coming back in the way mm-hmm. that you would imagine from injury? I don't know. We'll find out more information as we progress during the week. But what we definitely don't need more information on, because I've got plenty of information on, is that first and second down looks atrocious for your Texans this year. And so I think we might need a Bobby Slowick intervention, especially when it comes to the run game. I have been fascinated by first and second down, and I think I utilize EPA quite a bit. I don't view myself fully as a nerd when it comes to these things, but I am nerd adjacent at the very least, to be fair. And one of my favorite nerd sites is RBSDM. You don't have to remember that. It's fine. But they you can get to very many success rate stats and EPA stats on that site. And they actually have a box score as well that will show you some things. And one of the things that is evident, green being good, purple being bad on this, is you look at running the football on early downs for this Texans team. The EPA per play, I'm not going to give you specifically the number, but the percentile is really impactful here because like, where do they stack up against the rest of the league when it comes to this? And in this game versus the Bills, on first and second down, when they ran the football, they were in the 11th percentile when it came to efficiency.
Not good.
No, that's downright bad.
Not good.
Or no, that's actually 11th percentile on all first and downs, period. First and second downs, period. They were in the 23rd percentile running the football. A little bit better, but also still bad.
Mm-hmm.
And actually, passing on first and second down, 16th percentile. This team has not been a very effective on first and second down. And some of it, not all of it by any means, because I think it's a complex response. But one of the things that was really frustrating watching this Bills game was the way that you ran the football in particular. And a lot of that felt like it was highlighted in that fourth down that you needed. You hand off to Dare. And what's happening there? Like, I don't even know if you're getting in jumbo personnel, but what you're having is you're having everybody squeezed in tight into the basically everybody in the box.
Almost shoulder to shoulder.
Almost shoulder to shoulder. With guys, I mean, you have wide receivers who are standing up, but in effect, they might as well been in line
for
what you were trying to do. And all that does is bring all the defenders into the box and make it that much harder for you to get space and create room. And it feels like that is something that we see a lot with Bobby Slowick. Is that I understand you want to get everybody involved in the run game when it comes to blocking, but sometimes it just feels like you are being counterintuitive in the ways that you run the football at times.
Well, first and second down. First down runs, you know, how much of it is personnel, though?
Because, I think that's a part of this.
Because, like, well, it is, and it has been lately. It's been obvious to everyone, and it's one of my few frustrations with this squad is – Agumbawale ahead of Cam Akers, but that might fix itself, you know, sooner rather than later. Who knows how soon? When Joe Mixon gets back, but even when Mixon was having his, you know, career day, week one against Indianapolis, first down was still not exactly great when Joe Mixon was having his big day. So it is personnel. But it's not just personnel. It's blocking, and it's what you're doing with those runs on first down.
All right, so blocking is kind of interesting, and this is a little bit tangential, but one of the things I've talked about a little bit with this team is, does it feel like all their offensive linemen fit the style that they're trying to have? And I don't even know if all their offensive linemen fit along with each other, right? It feels like the interior of the line, for the most part, big, strong guys, especially Shaq Mason is the one that comes to mind. I don't know how, like, and I try and say this with all due respect, I don't know that he's, like, the most athletic guard, right?
To do this,
especially when you're trying to stretch and, like, get out here.
Your first step is usually one side or the other, not straight ahead.
With the outside zone in particular, right? Yeah. And he seems like a big guy that you want to get downhill immediately. And then you also have these tackles that feel like they're more athletic than they are maulers.
Yeah.
Which those two things almost make it so that I have a level of respect for not feeling like you can find the middle ground. But it does feel like, and maybe I should ask you in the form of a question here, does it feel like with this offense and the offensive line, you are fitting the scheme to the players or fitting the players to the scheme?
That's a great question. And I think what you're doing is fitting players to the scheme. Keep in mind who was here already. That, you know, now you did give Titus Howard a contract after, you know, Slowick and D'Amico were here. So they had some level of confidence that he could fit this scheme. But Titus Howard was here. Kenyon Green was here. Laremy Tunsil was here. Shaq Mason was here when they brought in this staff. And so that alone tells you, you're trying to fit them into the scheme, not vice versa. But I don't think it's, and this is kind of weird to say because the line has had its bad moments, more than a few, but I don't think it's just the line. I think that, you know, whether it's the mesh, as you talked about, them working together, or trying to fit this square peg into the round hole with Damian Pierce, you know, you're almost like operating differently with. You are operating differently with Damian Pierce.
Well, this is one of the few times I'm sure Damian would be great to hear that. I don't think Damian Pierce factors into what we're talking about here. He hasn't played in how many weeks, and you've still seen the stats that I was reading off for you. That was this week.
That was the Bills game. But they
and
also,
I can pull
they also
a whole
extend
bunch. Yeah.
Over the course of the season where they're not good on first.
I mean, hell, I showed it to you when it came to mm-hmm. both passing and rushing efficiency, because we're just talking about running right now. But even passing on first and second downs have been abysmal. I was showing you the efficiency when it comes to first and second downs through the first 5 weeks of the season. The Texans, when they run the football, their efficiency is literally second to last,
mm-hmm.
with the Las Vegas Raiders being the worst, running the football on early downs. Passing-wise, fourth worst. Only the teams that have been worse efficiency-wise, passing the football on early downs. 32nd, the Browns.
Okay,
which,
we know that story.
Obvious, right? 31st, the Titans. And we've seen what
we
Will
know
Levis.
That story, yeah,
yeah,
too.
Okay.
Yeah.
30th, the Broncos,
okay,
with rookie Bo Nix, right, who's having the mm-hmm. opposing defensive ends yelling at him to make sure that his teammates hear his audible.
Yeah.
Then the Texans are fifth. Sorry, I missed one. Because then you have the Patriots with Jacoby Brissett and what's happening there.
Yeah.
And then the Texans show up when it comes to efficiency on first and second down. And that's throwing the football.
Yeah.
This passing team, that is there. There just has to be, it has to be a lot more efficient on first and second downs. And I understand what is being pointed to when it comes to Brandon on the YouTube saying, you can't forget that some of the stuff in the playbook you leave for the second half. Well, how much different does that stuff have to be than the first half stuff? Because the first half of the season, you have not been good at all.
But you say that, but I think you don't necessarily empty the chamber in the second half. You got to come out strong, and they talked about it. I mean, D'Amico's talked about it. Bobby Slowick has talked about it. So it obviously begs the question, well, what is it? Why is it just C.J. Stroud working magic, you know, late in games or on third down?
Third downs, big third, because the efficiency obviously flips up in a crazy way. They are crazy efficient on third down.
That is not a good sign, because that means obviously you're making some play calls, but it also means C.J.'s working some magic.
Yes.
So what about first and second down?
Well, all right, so in order to try and get to the heart of this, how do we want to try and break this down? And this is real sports radio of me, like, oh, let's get down to the percentages. Yeah. But if you were going to go percentage, why are they literally the third best efficiency offense, or sorry, second best offense efficiency-wise, third best when it comes to throwing the football on third
Worst.
Down? Third best, throwing the football on third down.
Oh, on third down.
On third down.
About first or second, yeah.
How much of that are we attributing to C.J. Stroud? How much of that are we attributing to Bobby Slowick? Because the reason why I ask that is, if we're saying all of that or majority of that is C.J. Stroud, okay, then that maybe that means that Bobby Slowick's whole game plan has some warts to it.
Well, I think go ahead.
And depending on how much we put on Bobby Slowick, if you can do it on third down, why are you not doing it on early down?
Well, I think two things. Foremost, if you're that bad on first and second down, it's everything. There's an offensive line element. There's a running back element, but there is definitely a Bobby Slowick element. I mean, there has to be. Like I said earlier, the template is being set. Week five is not, you are what you are by week five. I mean, you understand that this is what you are. So some of that has to be on Bobby Slowick. Now, percentage wise, on third down, I think it's a 65
CJ.
Yeah.
Making things happen.
Because let's go in your mind's eye. Think back about some of the best plays on third down. How many of them were boom, 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 back foot throw? Not a lot. They were boom, boom, boom. Oh, crap. I got to go over here. Now I got to go over here. Now I got to throw sidearm to so-and-so coming across the field. It's off-script stuff. So that would tell me that's CJ magic more than a terrific play call.
Yeah. Especially because, I'd be hard pressed to believe that all of a sudden all your when you're putting together your game day mm-hmm. Waffle House spreadsheet, as I like to say, your game calling sheet, that you're stashing all the good plays in third down and first and second down, you just happen to not have.
No,
great
he's
plays.
Not doing that.
Like I feel like
he's not doing that.
And so that's the thing. And look, if I knew the answer to how to fix it necessarily, I'd be making a lot more money in somebody's football team. But the fact of the matter is there needs to be a shift in the way that the play calling itself happens, especially because I think once you isolate some of these variables, yes, the offensive line has not played up to the level that I think would be necessary to do this in a way that you should, right? And yes, you've missed your best running back options mm-hmm. for a very long amount of time, right? All of those things also factor in. But I don't think that you have this level of issue across all these games on first and second down without necessarily having your play calling at the offensive coordinator position need to be stepped up.
But a good chunk of it shifts to Bobby Slowick. And I'm not dumping on him. I'm saying we're trying to figure out first and second down and where the issue is, as a lot of Texans fans are, as I'm sure the Texans are themselves. But the thing that really points to Bobby has to figure out something better on first and second down, or use his personnel better, or change the scheme, or change the script, is their passing. Like, it's not just, oh, it's the line, and the run blocking might not be a good mesh. Oh, it's the running backs. You've missed Joe Mixon and Damian Pierce for a couple of weeks now. No, you're passing. Passing means C.J. Stroud. Passing means that trio of receivers, which is now a duo, that we've talked about for so long. So the fact that the passing plays are inefficient, that's when you start going, all right, Bobby, you got to mix things up here.
Yeah, and you might need to do it a little bit earlier,
yeah,
right? And get the ball out and into space, which it feels like they've done really well. Like, when they've done that now, mm-hmm. there is a question to be asked about, hey, having those tackles that have to be out in space sometimes. I think we've seen Laremy Tunsil kind of either not be able to kind of break down and get to his block, or kind of blow by a guy. That's a whole different thing. But getting the ball out in space early downs might be helpful in some of those situations, because that seems like the quick passing game can be a supplement for the run game. Mm-hmm. And when they've gone to quick passing type concepts outside of, what was it, the Bears game? The Vikings game, that they were knocking all those balls down at the line of scrimmage. It feels like they've had production there. And so I do wonder if maybe some of those things implemented in early downs mm-hmm. can help them. And I just maybe not being as predictable when it comes to running the football, especially directly into brick walls, right? Like, you can't light these first and second downs on fire, because you add the level of difficulty, you raise it up on CJ and the rest of the passing version of this offense on third down.
He can do it a lot, but can you count on CJ to do it every week? I mean, maybe.
Yeah, maybe. But,
yes.
Yeah, you're going to have to. You're going to have to.
That is a lovely feeling that you can get close to being like, I think so, actually. But it would be great if you did not have to put all of that weight on his shoulders, especially not now when you have so much talent all the way across this offense. So I wish I had more of an answer as to how to fix it. But the fact of the matter is that it is clear that is the level of issue that needs to get fixed with the offensive play calling. When we talk about that incremental approach to being the best team and being capable of really competing at a high level in the AFC, I think that's one of the big things that they need to work on. All right, you're in the Loop, Sports Radio 610. Coming up next, about time for Figgy Fig to get into the mixtape. What we got?
Yeah, so baseball going on, and yesterday Bob Costas told Al Michaels to hold his beer.
Ooh.
I'm going to go through some funny Bob Costas moments. Plus, on Sunday, a referee said something that had the internet going nuts. And I got some more funny referee moments.
All right, excellent. Bob Costas, referees, all of that next.
Pass the aux cord and crank up the volume. Figgy Fig's in the driver's seat. Sit back, relax, and enjoy the ride. It's time for Figgy's Mixtape on Sports Radio 610.
Yes, it is Figgy's Mixtape on Sports Radio 610. Your man Figgy Fig holding it down on a Tuesday. Happy Tuesday to everyone out there. And before I get started, I got to give a special shout out to Twolo. Did I say it right?
Yeah, the Twolos.
Yeah, shout out to Twolos on Twitch. Are they on Twitch?
They are on Twitch. They're hanging
on Twitch,
out,
man. Hey, they sent me some birthday cookies, man.
How about that?
Yeah, from Tiff Treats. So.
Yeah, Lady T on there said, "Happy Revolution, Fig."
Oh yeah. Oh, I never heard that. I never heard it that way.
Never heard it either.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah, I'm usually a Born Day guy. Yeah. I usually say Happy Born Day, but
have you heard these people going just cakes and candles? Not even like happy.
Nah.
This dude's trying to be real macho.
Cakes and candles.
They feel like or balloons and candles, things, something like that. I don't know.
Yeah, but salute to Twolo for hooking me up, man.
That's awesome.
That's all I got on that. Yeah.
I'm surprised they didn't send you soup, you know, considering you was out sick yesterday.
Yeah.
Yeah, man. I know, man. Hey, it was rough yesterday, man.
Got you a little bag and a needle.
The IV drip.
Hey, it was rough, man. But yesterday, while I was sick in bed,
I
was watching some
drinking a margarita.
No, hey, I was sick. I was dying, but I was watching some baseball, man.
Okay,
I was watching some Yankees and Royals, and that I feel like that series kind of spicing up a little bit.
Yep. Mm-hmm.
And I saw a lot of people complaining about Bob Costas, man. I'm like, dang, maybe I'm the only one that like Bob Costas.
Mm-hmm.
But a lot of people was really complaining about him as much as they complain about Al Michaels.
Yeah.
So I'm like, what did he do? What happened?
Mm-hmm.
So I'm going to play this call. This call right here was a double play, inning double play for the Yankees. And people wasn't happy about this call. And it have a real Al Michaels feel to it. Honestly, it made Al Michaels sound a little more polished and a little more hyped.
Okay.
So here's the call from Bob Costas.
Hit to short. Whip.
There we
gets
go.
The force. Can they turn two? Yes, they can, and it's just the point we were making. It's not Giancarlo's fault. A near base hit, couldn't beat it out at the other end, turns into a double play.
Man, is this the radio? Is this the Yankees radio network?
Yeah, you could have been excited in that moment, Bob. Come on now.
Distraught.
Man.
Hit to short. Whip. Gets the force. Can they turn two? Yes, they can, and it's point
we're making.
It's not Giancarlo.
Hey, that guy, is he working for the Yankees network or something?
What were they just talking about? Because there has to be more context to
I'm
right?
imagining that.
I'm guessing he was saying not to hit in a double play.
Yeah,
or
maybe he's grounded in some double plays or something like that.
That's bad.
He sounded so disappointed, man.
That's got to be the benefit of calling a national game is you just get to be excited about every big play.
Yeah.
No matter who hits it.
Not Bob Costas.
Yeah, okay. He was getting slaughtered online for this, too. But in the spirit of that, man, I got a couple calls, a couple moments from Bob Costas that one of them is actually one of my favorite moments ever. So this was Bob Costas. He was on a call with the Cubs and the Cardinals. And this was when Joe Maddon was with the Cubs and he was coming out to make a pitching change. Mm-hmm. And apparently this pitcher didn't have a good outing. And Bob Costas has some things to say.
Oh, I remember this one so bad.
It's not Bosio this time. It's Maddon. And that means a change. Mott is on his way in. Strope is on his way out, pointing toward the heavens. We can only ask or wonder that he is asking some departed relative for forgiveness for this atrocious performance.
Not the ancestors, man. Like, that's sick. That's nasty behavior, Bob. You know damn well that's nasty behavior.
Goodness gracious, man.
For forgiveness.
Man, he was stinking up the joint so bad, I know he's talking to his grandpa apologizing about it.
And you know how some of these pitchers, they go out and they the cross sign and point up to the sky? I'm like, goodness gracious, man. That was awful, man.
Well, Costas is a St. Louis guy. That is a big St. Louis fan when he was a kid and growing up. He was his first job.
You sure? I thought he was a Yankees guy. Sounded.
Maybe it's changed, but his first job in broadcasting was in the ABA, broadcasting for the St. Louis Spirits. So he's a big St. Louis guy. So that might have been a little factor there.
Man. Salute to him. But
No salute on that one. Hey. Disagree. And disagree completely. We are pulling the in-the-loop salute from now on. Absolutely not.
So, Bob Costas, have you ever thought about who is his favorite rapper?
Bob Costas? Never.
He actually have
once.
A favorite rapper,
not
man.
Once.
Yeah, so this is Bob Costas right here telling us who his favorite rapper is.
You know, I have got to give props to Ludacris because although he's not the only one, I think he was the first one to name check me. I believe it went something like this. I'd be rolling torpedoes, get blunted with Rostas, and for a hefty fee, I'm on your record, like Bob Costas. And it was at that point, boys, where I said to myself, if I step off a curb right now and get hit by a bus, I've lived a full life. It's all good.
All right, shout out back on for Bob Costas. Because
salute to Bob Costas.
That is absolutely who my favorite rapper is the first person to name check me in a song.
Oh, 100%. For sure.
That's got to be a crazy good feel, especially if it's somebody that's like dope for real, you know, like, and they drop you in a song. Plus, like, Luda is really like that. I feel like we don't appreciate enough. Luda is great in his lyricism because that's a bar that he put Costas on.
Yeah. And salute to him for even knowing the lyrics and reciting the lyrics. He sounds so hilarious.
The guy's an encyclopedia.
Yeah.
Like, he is a genius. Like, he remembers every little minutia detail. So I'm sure he probably did that right off the cuff.
Yeah. And also, Bob Costas, do you think some people, do you think he rubbed some people the wrong way at some point in his career?
Absolutely. I think every broadcaster has,
But him particularly, like, he can grandstand a little bit and people don't like that.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I think one person that don't like that is one Vince McMahon.
Oh!
So he had to sit down with Vince McMahon, and here's a couple little clips from that moment.
Do you think in some way that this type of programming contributes. Certainly not the biggest part of it, but contributes. You don't even know what I'm going to ask you.
Oh, yeah, I do.
To the incivility and coarseness that's generally out there in the culture now. Does it contribute in some way? Do you pump some of that into the water supply?
Maybe some. You want to let me finish your 4 second pound?
I'm asking you the question.
Then coach, shut your mouth and let me answer the question, all right? I'll be happy to answer. Let me finish.
They rejected that
Would
as a defense.
Would you please let me finish?
Absolutely.
You know, you are, well, you sure? You're not going to interrupt me. You let me finish.
Just because I inject something doesn't mean you're not going to have time to respond. You've got plenty of time to respond and continue.
Yeah, no, that, again, I'm on Bob Costas' side on this one. Vince McMahon was looking for somebody that was not going that was going to allow him to run roughshod
and
say any kind of nonsense, and he'd be saying some nonsense.
He does. What's the update with Vince McMahon?
I don't know, but I imagine that he's not in a good place.
Yeah. I don't think he wants to sit down with Bob Costas
this time. No, he doesn't.
And he will definitely go into the hot place, I'll tell you that for sure.
Salute to Bob Costas, man, for making that awful, atrocious call. Yep, it's Figgy Smith Staple on Sports Radio 610. And on Sunday, we were at the game, and I was actually sitting, I think I was on the third level, kind of on those couches, just watching the game on the TV, and because I wanted to hear the radio call and actually watch the game too. And when I was sitting there, and we all heard this call, and this was a call from a referee. And me and the other guy that was sitting there kind of looked at each other like, huh?
Yeah.
This was one of the calls from the referee during the Texans versus Bills game.
After pretty discussion, the runner was out of bounds before he fumbled the basketball. At the 39-yard line, it is a first down.
It's almost basketball season.
I looked around like, did he say basketball?
He did.
So he apparently had the internet going nuts. And in the spirit of that, I kind of went through a couple legendary referee moments just in the NFL, just randomly. And one of them was back in the day, back in Lopez, that you probably remember this.
Back when they were leather helmets?
Not that far. Oh. Not that far back. But the year was 1986.
Oh, I'm sure I remember it.
It was Jets versus Bills. And Marty Lyons got a little rough with Jim Kelly. And Marty actually gave Jim Kelly kind of a little shot in the midsection.
Yeah.
And this is how it went. You're going to hear the play at first, and then you're going to hear the referee pretty much tell us what the call is.
This is legendary, by the way.
Kelly played that low snap and throws it away. He saw Bell was well covered, and Marty Lyons all over Jim Kelly. Now, Kelly may have said something to Lyons, and players from both sides heading out of the field.
Foul. We'll
pick this up.
On number 99 of the defense, after he tackled the quarterback, he's giving him business down there at the 15-yard penalty.
Yeah, in fact, we need to bring that back. Giving them the business was a great call.
And what I liked about this call, the referee was really mad about this. He gave like a little...
No, he was. That's why I did
like,
that.
Giving them the business.
Giving them the business
down there. And that's a 15-yard penalty.
The audacity.
Yeah. I'm like, did he get you the business down there?
That's really a tough one to top. That is a legendary one. I do remember.
Oh, I think there's one that would make me smile in a bigger way than giving them
really?
A
really? Really? Sure, oh, I probably ain't got it.
No, it's all good. It's all good. It's one that you can easily tell once we get to that place. So let's go through.
Yeah, here's another one. Have you ever put yourself in the referee shoes, just being out there and you have to make that call and the other team or another player sees you and be like, man, come on, ref, that ain't the right call? Have you ever put yourself in those shoes?
I don't want to.
Yeah, so.
I've done a little bit of that, like intramural refereeing. Yeah. Not nearly at the same level, but you know, if you referee a Greek game, like, you know, those fraternities, they take that serious, bro.
They get into it.
Yeah. Oh, have you seen a volleyball game? See those people on the sideline when you make a bad call on the line? Oh, my goodness. But anyway, here is a referee making a call, and Geno Smith not too happy about this call. And the referee says something. Hey, I'm doing something right now. This is the referee. Well, that's not the one. This is the actual call right here.
Intentional grounding, offense number 7. It's a 10-yard penalty I'm talking to America here. Excuse me. Penalty and a loss of down. Second down.
That is the best line I've ever heard, Adam Fisher. We'll get to the penalty in a minute. He just told Geno Smith, I'm talking to America.
I'll be with you in a moment.
Just imagine you sitting there trying to make the call and somebody all in your face. You'd be like, hey, I'm talking to America right now.
Which was a fact.
Yeah, because America was watching.
That's right. He turned into a DMV worker right quick. I will get to you in a moment.
Yeah.
All right. I'm going to get y'all out of here on this one. This one is just imagine being a referee and it's so loud in there. And you can tell some people ain't paying attention.
Mm-hmm.
And the referee had to get everybody's attention before he made the call.
Pass interference. Defense number 40. The ball will be placed at slot and foul. Automatic first down.
It's like a concert.
Yeah, he's hey. Pass interference number 21 of the defense.
Oh man.
Yeah.
That was like a concert. He was just getting the crowd riled up.
Wait, did that go?
Hey.
All the crowd gets into it.
Defense number 40.
That sounded like it went against the road team. So I almost wonder if he was like, hey, y'all going to be happy about this. Calm down. Just wait. Just let me talk first.
Yeah.
All right. And you're going to enjoy this.
Hey. It's pass interference, y'all.
Yeah. Come on. Hey, y'all getting mad at me. I'm not the one to be mad at. It's going to work out. Just chill. The one I was hoping to hear is the one. Hey, we've heard this a few times where it's a false start. Everybody but the center.
Every time. That's up there, man.
Every time. That's up there. It doesn't disappoint. All right, man. You're in the Loop Sports Radio 610. That's Figgy's mixtape. You hear it every day at 1:20 p.m.
I'm going to have y'all do it tomorrow.
No, you're not.
Just to kind of see how it sounds.
No, you're not.
You know what? I'm going to go back in the archives.
Odyssey app, baby. Actually, I don't think you can go back days. But you can go check out the In the Loop podcast, though. That's right. Check out the podcast page. You can hear it there. But coming up next, we get ready to hand off to the drive, Clint and Ron. But before we get there, we asked a question of the day. What is your best happen to be there moment? And we want to return to those because there were so many of them. We'll do that next in the Loop.
Thank you, Figgy.
Live from the Twin Peaks Studios, Sports Radio 610 presents In the Loop with John Lopez and Reggie Atitula.
Yeah, you're in the Loop, Sports Radio 610. John Lopez, Figgy Fig, and myself, Reginald Atula, hanging out with you. Much appreciation to our guy, B. Scott, joining us earlier in the program. It's been a really fun one.
It has been a great show.
Honest.
We do say so ourselves.
And you know what? It probably helps that you get a big-time win on Sunday. And then that just sets the vibe for the week, I think. Also, helping the vibes. Got some updated odds for NFL awards, as I think we're tracking this all through the season.
Mm-hmm.
I know particularly Payne and Pendergast do a great job tracking this throughout the season. But the thing that is interesting, or one of the things that is really interesting, there's probably two awards that you look at that probably Texans have some shots at. Is that fair?
Yeah.
Maybe a third as well. But the first one, the big one, MVP. Mm-hmm. CJ Stroud is now plus 650 to win MVP. That is good for second.
Second best odds for MVP.
Second best odds for MVP after Patrick Mahomes.
To me, it checks out. You know, given you know what the Texans have not done and how he's saved them. You know, and he's had some highlight reel type stuff.
Yeah, he's been great. He's been a large reason why they've won the games that they've won.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, man, he's been incredible. So, but I just. And I think you mentioned this, just like I think that because we're so close to this and we could kind of nitpick and talk mm-hmm. about some of the ways in which he has not been the fullness of what we can expect from him reasonably, it's easy to forget that he's still been really, really, really good.
Yeah.
This year.
And he's also sort of the it guy. You know, when you look at the Orlovskis and all these coaches and breaking down film, I mean, people just gush over, you know, all his abilities and for clutch playmaking. And clutch playmaking gets you in the MVP conversation, flat out. It does.
All right, so there's MVP. There's two more awards that you could probably say Texans have a good shot at. What are the two that you think?
Coach and Defensive Rookie of the Year.
All right, so Coach of the Year, I wouldn't say nearly as much. D'Amico Ryans comes in 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, eighth best odds right now mm-hmm. for Coach of the Year. Defense Rookie of the Year is absolutely one of those. Kamari Lassiter, third best odds right now.
I think he's got a real... Who are the top two?
Top two, Jared Verse. Mm-hmm. I added a T in there for some reason. But Jared Verse, defensive lineman for the Rams,
mm-hmm.
and Laiatu Latu.
Oh, man, yeah.
But, I mean...
I think Lassiter's in the mix.
And Kamar Lassiter, I mean, if we can get takeaways coming back around on this, that'd be really cool and maybe help bump that. The other position, or rather award that I was thinking of, actually Offensive Player of the Year, right? Kind of the non-quarterback award.
Yeah.
Funny enough.
Nico?
Yeah, Nico Collins shows up really high. Derrick Henry currently leads odds here 3-1. 3-1 odds.
Was he available this offseason?
Sounds like he was. But yeah. Derrick Henry, Saquon, Justin Jefferson, that's the top three. Ja'Marr Chase is fourth. And Nico Collins, the boogeyman himself, fifth best odds, plus 750 to win Offensive Player of the Year. A couple other Texans that show up there. C.J. Stroud still shows up here, 50-1 odds.
Yeah.
And all the way down at the bottom of the list that's shown right now, at least the board that we have, Stephon Diggs, who's just moved off the board, off of it. But Stephon Diggs was around there when it came to Offensive Player of the Year. And with another good game, which is possible, maybe he gets back on the board.
Yeah, and the reason I said coach is, you know, for all these things, they've only lost one game. And ahead of them are all these, you know, superb teams. You know, obviously, I don't know if you want to call the Cowboys superb, but they're a marquee team. And then the Chiefs, and then Ravens, and you already beat the Bills, and you got other squads coming in. So I think D'Amico, if they have put together that really keep doing what they're doing and eking out these wins, the numbers still add up to a hell of a season, and D'Amico will be in the mix.
So there you go. That's what's happening with the odds. I do want to get back to this. Earlier today, there was breaking news, and that was that the Jets fired Robert Saleh. The Texans' opponent for Halloween will be the Jets, and they will have an interim head coach handling duties in that moment. But what was funny to me was we had ESPN on the television, and during the course of that, they pop on Adam Schefter to talk about this breaking news in the National Football League, and Adam Schefter is in the back of an Uber, right? And you can see it. The quality isn't great. It's bouncing up and down as he rides through the streets of wherever the hell he is. And in my mind, I just went to, oh, man, that Uber driver probably has quite a story. Because either he knew that news before everybody else, or he's just like, yo, I happen to be in the car. Adam Schefter's back here doing this, and now he's doing a television interview in the back of my car. And that kind of got us to this place where we were thinking about what were those, like, you just happened to be there moments of, you know, good fortune, and I guess oftentimes meeting in with some celebrities as well. I brought up the time that I went to a crawfish bowl and Avery Johnson just happened to be there. You mentioned
Martin Sheen.
You mentioned Martin Sheen.
I snubbed Martin Sheen.
You actually didn't give us the Fidel Castro story.
I'll give you the Fidel Castro story. I'll give you that. My favorite so far is B. Scott almost got his clock cleaned by Dennis Rodman.
Yeah, Rodman thought the B. Scott was pushing up on his lady.
Yeah. What did he say, Figgy?
What are you doing? B. Scott like, yeah, I'm watching the game, and if they win this game, and what are you doing?
He said it twice. said, nothing, sir. No. Okay, so I was at covering the Pan American Games in Havana, Cuba.
Okay. Well, that's good. At least you were in a place that it makes sense that Fidel Castro was in. Okay,
very good. Yeah. And so obviously, socialist country. We were being followed by, you know, government people everywhere we went and all that.
Keeping
stuff.
Keeping an eye on you. They know Lopez.
No, they were. They absolutely.
They know Lopez
were.
Is a troublemaker. That's why.
I could tell you stories about Havana. Anyway. This is the go away. The walk away story from Havana that I'm still bragging about. So they said, we're going to have a reception for all American media. There was only like 15 of us there at this palace for whatever reason. And we're like, okay, we'll go get some free food and drink. You know, Cuban rum, not a whole lot better than that. Cuban cigars, not a whole lot better than that.
Know about that.
So we're in. And I go there. Fidel Castro walks into the room.
Okay.
They're having this, because he wanted to be, I guess for political reasons, see, the American media loves me and all that stuff.
Got you.
And this is one of my proudest moments of my life. So he starts walking around, and they kind of line us all up together, all the American media, and he starts shaking hands, and they're taking pictures and everything. I kind of sauntered my way to, like, the buffet table or something, and then went back around behind him because I didn't want to shake his hand. So I snubbed Fidel Castro, but I also didn't want to get arrested and be in a Cuban prison.
Quite a snub to navigate.
It was a quandary, is what it was. And so I just sort of like casually walked away. And some of my friends in the media were like, man, I can't believe they did that to us. I said, I avoided it. Because you don't know where those, even then, you know, 1991, it was the Pan American Games in Cuba. I was like, first of all, I hate that guy, you know, for what he did. And so I kind of sauntered around the room and avoided him the whole time.
There you go.
Yeah.
All right. Some other things that came in on the text line. Someone said that they happened to be in the clouds off of the Devil's Lettuce at Whataburger close to NRG on 610 in Maine. Ran into Jay Leno.
I bet you he helped him finish the Devil's Lettuce.
All sorts of ones came through from the 832. They said they met Sugar Ray Leonard in an awkward way. They said they work at the airport, and as he was coming through TSA security, a friend pointed him out, and when he saw him, immediately said to his friend, "His small eyes, I could whip him, but my voice is so loud, he heard me and replied, I've dropped people bigger than you."
Oh,
buddy, I don't know. That my heart would drop. First of all, I would never say anything so
what are you doing?
Yeah, exactly. What are you doing? What are you doing? Another one that came in, they said S-faced Bones Jones in Vegas.
All right.
Apparently, he kidnapped them at XS, dragged them to three other clubs in the morning. A week later, he got suspended for cocaine.
Wow.
Yeah, so, yeah. This is a funny one that came in from an 832 number. They said, and they were in Dallas some years ago, North Park Mall in GameStop, and they said it was all of a sudden barricaded by security and police, and someone said, "The Jonas Brothers are in here." And their response was, "Who are the Jonas Brothers?"
Oh, yeah.
Right next to one of the Jonas Brothers.
Oh, really? That's an awesome story.
There's all sorts of stories coming in.
That's an awesome story.
Saw Fromber buying diapers and baby formula in Walmart. Somebody said that they were right in front, right down center when Tank kind of jumped up, and they were carrying their baby and everything, and Tank jumped up right in front of them.
Oh, man. Come
That's got to be quite the experience. But yeah, just one of those happened to be there. There's a ton of them that have come in on the course of this. But yeah, man, let's see. Were there any ones that you had seen that you were interested in?
I'm interested in the Brushes with Greatness cat that was somewhat surprising from Clinton Ron. I told my Fidel Castro story. I told my Martin Sheen story.
Oh, someone sent in from the 713. They said Eddie Murphy in an elevator in Fort Worth during the height of Beverly Hills Cop.
Yeah.
That's got to be wild, just being in an elevator, seeing someone like that walk in.
I didn't tell my Shelley Long story, nor will I.
Yeah, don't do that. Yeah. And again, we weren't asking you to do that. We weren't. But you guys saw the breaking news of the morning when Robert Saleh gets let go of his job in New York. And we've just been fascinated by the fact that Adam Schefter breaking that news just from the back of an Uber, and just think about it from that Uber driver's perspective. Just, you know, you're hearing Adam Schefter's doing that work in the back. And so that got us on quite a tangent of just those instances where you happen to be in the right spot. And a lot of times with famous folks as well. Have you had any moments like that that kind of come to your memory?
I've had a few. The most interesting ones are probably playing arena ball. Like I did, you know, because remember the arena ball when I was playing was when the run of all the famous guys, the musicians,
were
owning it.
I know Bon Jovi and Philly and such.
I played in Nashville, and Tim McGraw was one of the owners. I'm a big country music fan, obviously. Mm-hmm. Tim at the time was rolling, son, and he was an owner. And I'm sitting, I'm warming up, and you know, as I've told y'all many a time, like I'm locked in. I ain't got time to chit chat. I'm not good enough to chit chat. I got to get loose. And this old boy walks up and taps me on the shoulder. He got this hat pulled down real low. He had a t-shirt on that had like fraternity letters, big fraternity letters on the front, kind of like the sorority girls do their shirts. This was a fraternity. And he said, "Hey, man, you know, big fan, you know, glad to have you in town, man, looking forward, blah, blah, blah." I was like, yeah, I'm good, man. I'm in the middle of warming up, you know.
Right.
And then I look over at the sideline about 5 minutes later, and he's standing there with Faith Hill, and I was like, "That's Faith. Oh, damn, that's him." And the same thing when I was in Philly with Bon Jovi.
Yeah.
Bon Jovi come walking from, all the way across an open parking lot in a denim outfit.
Of course.
until he got in the gate in the field where we were at, I didn't know who he was. Joking, he says, "Bon Jovi, get the hell out of here." He didn't drive a car if he walked up. I'd be damn, got right on top of me. Denim gear, baby.
All right.
Denim, nose to toes.
That's incredible. Well, I mean, you could do that if you had a guy, right? Ron, any brushes with greatness?
Well, I don't know about greatness. I got some mid cards.
I mean, outside of yourself, clearly.
No, I used to work at a. I don't know if they had Just for Feet.
Did they have the hoop in there?
Yeah,
as well?
And I remember Genuine and Soleil came in.
Oh, that counts.
And they took me to a bonus. But I sold them some Tim's. I sold them the shoe cleaner. I sold them the accessories. Them and Tech N9ne a couple of times got me in and took me over the top. So that's about as close as I've been to it.
Oh yeah, man, you guys got some good ones, and I'm sure you got a great show as you always do, fellas. Super excited to listen to the show on a Texas Tuesday here. You're listening to KILT, KILT, HD2 and Odyssey Sports Station. We're done as in Lou, and right now the drive is live.